Think he's ready. Okay, I am going to call the March 20th, 2025 Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting to order, and we are going to start with a roll call.
Here.
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 All right, and with that, we'll roll into public comment. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to make a comment about anything that's not on the agenda? All right, there's Member Lowe. Welcome. Hello. Our newest member. And you've got your name thing is right there. Yeah. All right. With that, I would... I guess take a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to approve our last meeting minutes. We'll take a roll call vote for that.
Yes.
Member Tuggle. Member Guthrie.
Yes.
Member Gibson. Member Hageman.
Yes.
Member Talley.
Yes.
Member Riley.
Yes.
All right. So the minutes are approved. Moving on to the operations report.
So we'll start with the, I think they can hear me on here. We'll start with the Lopez storage projection chart. This was asked of us at the last TAC meeting to include the preliminary injunction measures in this storage projection line. So you'll see on the chart, the yellow line actually represents both lines actually represent the PI injunction as well for our future projections. So any questions on this? As you can see, we do have future rainfall on there. It's all predicted. We actually have a staff report that we're preparing currently to explain this chart and where the data comes from, how we generate it. So we hope to be pushing that out this next month at the TAC, and then I can provide it at the May's advisory committee as well.
So just, I guess, a point of clarification on this chart. There are two lines there. The yellow line reflects the new release schedule as a result of the injunction. And then the black line, which is a little bit hard to see, which is above the yellow line, would be the projection based on the pre-existing release schedule. Is that correct?
Actually, no. So the two lines, the top one includes... rainfall, predicted rainfall. The yellow line is no rainfall. So,
oh.
But both of these are assuming the preliminary injunction's in place.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions on the chart? All right. Moving on.
So this is the monthly operations report. This one's January's. Let's see, do I have February? So the interesting part about February's is that we did do a district-initiated exchange for the first time. The plant was off for a couple of weeks as we did some maintenance and some needed repairs to our DAF building. This chart's going to change a little bit as this was our first exchange that we've done. We're realizing kind of the inadequacy of this table. So in the future, we're thinking about having a separate table on the side that says exchanged water, and it'll kind of outline the details of what these exchanges are, because there's two types of exchanges that you guys can do. There's a district-initiated one, and then there's an agency-initiated exchange. Both of them are typically somewhat temporary, so we think tracking them on a separate table, not where we're trying to track all your entitlements, is probably more appropriate. This thing might look a little different in the future as we work through the issues that we're having with it.
So I guess just a question about that. So this was really a result of the contract changes that were made a few years ago that really facilitate storage and more efficient use of our resources.
Yes, 100%.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask about Oceano Community Services District. It looks 120% of allocation. Am I reading that?
Where are we at on there? Let's see. Where are you looking for that?
I'm looking at my notes. I got to look back in the table now.
I believe in the On one of the reports, we did have it at 120%, and it was because you guys were actually switching over to your surplus water, and we hadn't caught that yet. And so we were retroactively went back, set it at 100%, and corrected the values. So, So you should no longer, you'll notice on this chart, Oceano on the upper portion, April to present, you're at 100% on your entitlement usage. And then we'll be, and then we're tracking how much you're using of your surplus as well.
Must have been looking in an early draft.
So, yeah, I do remember that error, though.
Good. Thank you.
I do have today's operational numbers for you guys. I'll read those off. Let me know if you guys need me to repeat anything. Plant flow is currently at 2.7 MGD. State water is at 1.4 MGD. Downstream releases are at 5.2 MGD. The elevation of the reservoir is 519.09 feet. The capacity is at 93.6%. Storage volume is 46,321.9 acre feet, and rainfall to date is 14.07 inches.
How much say again?
The last one?
Yeah, the
14.07.
And that's varies in different areas, right?
Yes, that's the, those are records at the dam. Yeah.
As I recall, it's about 70% of normal for this time of year?
That sounds about right. Yeah, we're usually up around 20 or so.
Yeah. I think I looked at the Slo County water chart and 14. So.
All right, and that's it for the project updates. Or the, sorry, the water reservoir updates. So.
All right. So, gosh, does that take us to the budget status report?
Let's see. Yeah, I can go through the. Actually, I still have a project update, and then I'll have the. Yeah, I forgot that I'm this whole section. So, yeah, I'll run through the projects. Let me know if you guys have any questions. A new project on here is the Lopez Dam flow sensor. That's part of the preliminary injunction. In order to do pulse releases out of the dam, we needed some way of measuring flow. So we're in the process of, we have the sensor in hand now. Now we're working on the bracketry to install it where we need to install it. Membrane modules, we have, we're going to combine and put together a bunch of funds from a bunch of the CIP projects to fund the membrane module replacements and just get that finished up. So we are in the process of getting a new quote for those two racks. The spillway assessment and investigation, we just received the geotechnical data report. It is just data. There's no recommendations in it. That's coming after. I can share that with the group if interested once GEI produces it. Geotechnical testing and seismic alternative study at the terminal reservoir. It's still currently with DSOD for review. They are very backlogged, and we do not have a time frame yet of when they're going to provide comment. The cathodic protection repair project, no change on that one. Still working with DWR on a transient monitoring station. Fire flow tank replacement, that one is currently on hold as we are diverting funds from that project over to the membrane racks. So hopefully we'll budget that at a future point. Currently, the last completed project that we did was repairs to the DAF building. You might remember there was some eroded and corroded beams in the ceiling. It was a safety issue. So we've just finished that up as well.
Okay. Now I think we're done with the complete operations report.
No,
is that
I still
right?
got the budget status report to get through.
Oh, okay. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Item E here. I should be reading down so we know where we're at. So as of right now, we're at 56% of the budget spent to date. Overall, routine O&M is at 55%. Non-routine is up at 113%. And then our capital outlay is only at 1% of the budget spent. I know that's a contentious issue all the time about why we're not spending the money. As you guys are probably well aware, a lot of efforts are being diverted over to the HCP and the preliminary injunction. However, we are moving a bunch of CIP funds over to that membrane rack project. And so hopefully we'll be able to fund that one. I'm guessing that'll be somewhere in the $600,000 to $700,000 range. So this will go from 1% to almost 100% once we, you know, build that one out. But we'll, that's coming. And then there's just the graphs tracking costs to date. We're kind of right in line with where we should be. This one's... obviously way out of whack, and that has to do with the litigation. So we have spent to date, let's see, I got a note here. Thank you, Christina. We have currently spent $1.35 million on attorney's costs to date. And then here's our CIP outlay that I just spoke to, and I believe that ends the operations report section.
So actually, just a question regarding the legal costs. It's my understanding that the county has not been charging us for county counsel and anything associated with our own, well, the county's attorneys. It's just the outside counsel.
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, just again on litigation. So yeah, we were at 900,000 or so. Were we not here on litigation? Now 1.35. Where are we? End of Q3 almost. So we're gonna. I guess two questions. Where do we think we're gonna end? I know the torture rate has. We don't anticipate that ending anytime soon. Spend rate of up. Well, almost 100,000.
It's close. Yeah, it's about 150,000 a month.
A month.
Yeah.
I guess we won't editorialize the comments on that, but so we'll end up probably 1.6-1.7 million at the end of the year. That money is coming from where?
That is a very good question. I have my finance staff in the room. I think they can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that will come through the true-up at the end of the year. It's something that needs to be discussed with the finance committee members as well. We were able to balance the budget, for 25-26, obviously, and work through a bunch of issues with you guys. But these are unexpected costs, and we'll have to have some discussions about that, about how to pay for that.
So this isn't coming out of reserves at this point? Whose money is it? What do you send it to Osmond Gunther? County money?
Do you guys want to speak to that?
Sorry to put you on the spot here. But
yeah. And this is Christina Borges.
Hi, Christina.
Your guys' finance.
Your accountant.
Your accountant. I should say it that way. Yeah.
I don't know if it's on.
Yeah,
it is on. Yeah. So like right now, I know towards the beginning of the year, or like I guess towards the end of the second quarter, we had moved funds from CIP into the litigation costs, which was about $450,000. So that money did get moved over. So based on that, you're looking at right now probably like an additional $1 million. I know we had Nadia from Pismo, if I'm remembering the correct agency for her, she was asking for the true-up billings, that we would have that as a separate line item to actually show what that cost is per agency, which we can totally do. So right now, because Zone 3 is more of like an enterprise, we are allowed to go over budget during the year, given circumstances. So that's why we do have the true-up when it comes to November of the next fiscal year. So we have that room to go over budget because of
basically
how everything
the
gets
county,
paid for.
County reserves in general cover that.
In a way, yeah, but then it comes back
sure.
Where you guys get the bill.
Yeah. Or you got a machine in the basement where you're...
Something like that, yeah.
Printing money down there. What, do you think you're the feds or what? I don't know what's happening here. That's what... Because I had thought, and maybe David and I spoke about this at Tech several months ago, that it was actually just coming out of... I'm going to have a few questions on the reserves for the 25-26
yeah.
balance. I think it shows
okay.
there. But this, that million, probably $1.3 million by the end of the year, it will be the Merry Christmas in November, perhaps.
Yeah.
And then it'll be probably a discussion on payment schedules or whatever. I don't
right.
know.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So.
Okay. So the county is... I guess fronting the money, or it's coming out of general fund reserves. Because I want to just get it. I was talking to the Avila Beach CSD board on Tuesday, and I knew we had moved a little bit over, but so that clarifies that. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you guys remember, we moved funds from the cloud seeding project. We had about $450,000 in the cloud seeding, so we moved that budget over to the litigation. So, yeah.
All right. I think now we're done with the operations report. And I guess moving on to the main topic of discussion, which is consideration and an endorsement of our 25-26 budget.
So I can run down the budget real quickly with you guys. So I think at the end of the day, the biggest number that we kind of negotiated with the agencies was this, as you can see in the chart, I think it's behind me. Yeah, the 9.76% increase. So we were able to accomplish that by deferring a bunch of CIP projects, taking some money out of the district designated reserves, as well as taking money out of reserves. The original increase was somewhere up around 26%, I think it was, roughly. And we were able to, by doing a bunch of offsets and things, get it down to that 9.76%. So, yeah, any questions on that? I can go through a lot of the budget book if you guys want to see some of the line items and things, but high level, this is where we landed and where the finance, your guys' finance directors and stuff agreed that they were comfortable, so.
So, do members of the committee have more questions about this?
I a couple, and again, just to, so I'm clear, I was kind of focusing on reserves. We're gonna move half of the district designated reserves out, about 130,000, and what were we pulling out of our operating reserves?
550.
525,000.
25, so.
That they decided they wanted to do as a loan against the reserves. So in the next 5 years following the 25-26 fiscal year, they'll be paying back 105,000
to build that
between the agencies.
Build that back up, because that operating reserve, is that a percent of operations, or how did we get that number?
We try to carry a 50% of what the O&M would be for budgets.
Annual O&M.
Try to carry that, yeah.
Good, okay.
I was trying to find it here, but I'm not sure what page it's on. So.
I think that's it, again, with, I guess, just everybody's understanding. And again, the finance folks, I didn't partake in those, but yeah. Knowing that we've got $1.3 million that's sitting out there as well that we'll be seeing. Sounds like in the true up end of the year, calendar year kind of a thing. So just in terms of bracing for impacts, and then the other settlement, well, hopefully it settles and we get this thing behind us, but there'll be attorney fees for the plaintiffs and project costs that will hopefully, yeah. I mean, we can stretch those out a bit.
Yeah, there's several projects coming out of the preliminary injunction that will likely be, nothing's cheap.
Right. Yeah,
you know, so
multi.
Yeah,
multi,
I'm working on a spillway fish screening plan at the moment. So, yeah, that could be on the magnitude of 100,000 up to like $250,000, and then have future operations and maintenance implications as well for cleaning the nets and things like that.
So I did have a question about that. It's routine O&M looks like it's going up, not an insignificant amount, and is that mostly attributed to the project you just spoke about?
Yeah, okay. I was designating more staff. As this HCP, you know, ramps up, and as those preliminary injunction projects come to fruition, I knew I'd need additional help. So,
okay, just one more. Sorry, the non-routine O&M category, is that funded 100% by the subcontractors? Well, and I guess CSA 12 is the county.
So CSA 12 is one of the other, considered one of the other agency subcontractors for Zone 3, since they do get water, and then within CSA 12 has their own billings for who is part of
the subgroups
and subcontracted within CSA 12.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, overall with the budget, whether you're looking at O&M, non-routine O&M, and the capital, if you look at the main page that shows the breakdown for where all the costs are, all of that's billed out to the agencies. Yes.
And the litigation then is being,
that is included. That's a big part
funded,
of,
yeah, by the agencies. And I guess that's, I'll say, a point of future discussion between, I think, the agencies and the county, in terms of, is there county, and I know this is a sensitive topic, but I'm going to throw it out there, you know, is a responsibility on the county side to help fund some of that, whether it's lake, you know, the Lopez Recreation side generates, I know, not a lot of money, but some money and some other things. So I expect that'll be a topic of discussion in the future. But we've got to do the budget now, and I get that. Thank you.
And then just for a point of additional cost increases too, my chief plan operator at Lopez did send me a breakdown. And since about, I think it was about 2020 till now, we've seen 127% increase in chemical costs. So just everything is just going up. So.
Okay.
One more. So capital outlay spending, significant reduction, obviously.
Yep.
Those projects that are being postponed, are there any that, you know, we really, I don't know, are going to be scary if we're not addressing those very soon?
So fortunately, I tried to keep the few things in the budget that I was most concerned about, and that's, you know, we're going to try to get those two membrane racks done this year, or at least it's budgeted this fiscal year. We might not get to it till next fiscal year, but the money's already set aside for it. And then additional projects there were like membrane rack, like some piping issues that we have, some valving that we want to change out. I think the biggest thing that we're kind of kicking the can down the road is the fire flow tank. It's not leaking. We've had inspections done of it. There's probably some interim measures that are probably a little less expensive that we could go do if we start to see some leaks and things like that. We can do internal spot patches and things like that. So, you know, it's not the prettiest of tanks, but it's not leaking. And so at the moment, I don't see it as a big any sort of emergency issue. And then additionally, you know, there's backup plans there too. We can always put a fire pump in the terminal reservoir. There's some permitting issues with that, of course. But there is some workarounds that we've considered, if that were to fail for some reason. So, but ultimately I would answer your question is no, there's nothing, that I see as like catastrophic or anything coming up by, diverting these funds or, not diverting, but, postponing these projects. So.
And I support that. I mean, in terms of the membranes, the high priority stuff that we need for producing,
For treatment,
good quality water.
Yeah. So. And one of the other projects was our carbon feed system. We're still trying to move that one along. You know, that's a taste and odor issue. You know, unit process. So you know, we're still trying to meet our good water quality, good taste, all those things. So yeah.
Member Lowe, you were looking at me as if you had some questions or comments.
I just had one question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I this might, I don't know, be kind of a basic question, but could you speak a little bit about the bonds? I know it's not a huge part of the budget, but could you?
Can one of you guys speak to the bonds? Not yet, no? So, okay. So Christina is really new to our system. And I don't think we have the background right now to speak to those, eloquently. So can we, put that as a future agenda?
Yeah. I was just curious. Sure. I'm new too. That's why I was asking. So,
yep. And I try to do my best to stay on the engineering side and leave all the money
no
to
worries.
Them. So yeah. Yep.
No worries. Thank you. So, just curious.
Yeah. Good question.
Ember Guthrie, do you have any questions or comments? Okay, at this point, are we ready to look at a motion to endorse the 25-26 budget?
I move we approve the 25-26 budget.
All right, we've got a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? With that, we will have a roll call vote.
All right. Member Lowe?
Yes.
Member Tuggle? Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Gibson? Member Hageman?
Yes.
Member Talley?
Yes.
Member Riley?
Yes.
All right. Well, we have a budget. and I guess we'll be talking about bonds at some point in the future. Are there future agenda items that we should be talking about?
Just as a piggyback to our previous meeting, I believe it was Vard had brought up having the rec, the Parks and Rec come speak. I guess they used to at these meetings and just give updates about the recreational aspects of Lopez Reservoir. We did reach out to Parks and Rec, and they said that they would attend May's meeting and provide some updates. So,
thank you for the follow-up on that.
I had mentioned at the last meeting that a comprehensive discussion of our fire protection, someone just to present how that is all working, how it's impacted by these new releases, and if we get into a low reservoir that we cannot respond to, what happens at that point?
Yeah, let me reach out to like Cal Fire or one of those agencies, and let me see if we can do that for you guys.
All right. Any other thoughts on future agenda items? Okay, with that, we will move to, do you have a future agenda item or
no,
a comment?
Just a comment. Yeah. Okay. You sent a note out about Creeklands doing a
Oh, yeah, I needed to bring
thing.
That up with the group.
Yeah.
Thanks for the reminder. Let me, did I send an email on that to the
I think you did.
Staff members?
I don't know why it's stuck in my head. It's a dangerous yeah. place to be. But
no, let me, I know it's, I know I got it here somewhere. Where's Don's email? There it is. The meeting is Thursday, April 3rd from 4 to 5:30. It's at Creekland's office, which is adjacent to the AGAG gauge. They're going to provide some snacks. They're doing some stream signage that they were going to put on both sides of the gauge there, explaining, you know, the project and how they got from start to finish. And I believe some information about the fish and stuff in the creek and the wildlife. So they really appreciate your guys' contribution in helping get their project completed. And they hope that some of the members here would attend on April 3rd.
Is that open to the public or is that just for this group?
I believe it's just for the group,
okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, other member comments. Well, I guess my comment, and maybe it's a question, it seems to me that there are likely going to be rate increases associated with financing this litigation. And I don't know if anybody has any idea what that's going to look like, but I think the public should be very aware that water rates are going to go up because of this. All right. With that, I think we're going to adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.